Good evening. Greetings to all who join us in person and online on this Maundy Thursday as we remember the betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, and death of Jesus Christ. We begin our worship with a call to worship, which I invite you to read the lines that are printed in bold on our screens or in the bulletin that you received tonight. O people, lament your great sin for the sake of which Christ left his Father's bosom and came to dwell on earth. Of a pure, gentle virgin, Jesus was born for us. Tonight, we remember the light has come into the world, and the world loved darkness rather than light. Lift up your hearts. Let us pray. Most gracious God, look with mercy upon your children gathered here, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, given into sinful hands, and suffered death upon the cross. Strengthen our faith and forgive our betrayals as we enter the way of his passion. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to please stand if you are able as we join in our first hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you.
Friends, please be seated. Tonight we begin our tenebrae service. We ponder the depth of Christ's suffering through mounting darkness, culminating to the point of removing the Christ candle, which symbolizes that the light of the world was at one time extinguished. Yet even as we sit in the darkness, we anticipate the celebration on Easter Sunday, when we will rejoice in the resurrection and Christ's ultimate victory. Let us hear the words of the Lord found in Holy Scripture. I invite Jenny to come forward to read our first scripture reading.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 to 6. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present.
Dear friends in Christ, peace be with you on this holy night. Why do we gather? What is this night? It is a night of love. For on this night, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, to love each other as he had loved them. It is a night of communion. For on this night, Jesus gave not only a commandment, but also a sign of bread and wine broken and poured to remember him. It is a night of loving service, for on this night, Jesus gave us not only a commandment and not only a sign, but also an example on his knees with basin and towel washing feet. It is also a night of betrayal, for on this night, a man Jesus loved sold him for money and brought soldiers to seize and bind him as he prayed. This night is joyous, fierce, tender, terrible. We begin in light with memories and stories, friends and feasting. We end in shadows with a queasy fright. We begin as the friends of Jesus did long ago, together as one. And we end as they did, scattered in the dark. We begin as they did, singing of love and deliverance. We end as they did, not a single sound. Friends, be at peace on this holy night. Enter it with open hearts. Let us pray. God of all time and creation, we thank you for your work in our world, for good friends and good family, for the time to share a bountiful meal, and the space to worship you. All that we have and all that we come are from you. Most of all, this night, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for the faithful and righteous life that he lived, for the journey he made during this week that we celebrate from exalted King to crucified Lord, and for the meal that he shared with his disciples before he was killed, where he revealed and shared his full self with those who cared for him. Be present with us now by the power of your Spirit, that once again this meal might be a chance for us to share in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this bread be for us the body of Christ, and this cup be the blood of our Lord, and the sharing of this feast our participation in that meal so long ago. Strengthen us by this meal for the journey ahead, that we might continue to walk with Christ along the road of his passion and death, as we await his rising on Easter and to the fullness of new life. Through Christ, who shares this table with us, even now, we pray. Amen. When the time arrived for Jesus to be lifted up, he was eating dinner with his friends, the disciples, and during that dinner, he took bread and he broke it in front of them, offering it to them, saying, "Take and eat, and as you eat of it, do so in remembrance of me." Following the passing of the bread, Jesus took wine, we have juice tonight, and he poured it into a cup, and he offered it to his friends, saying, "This is a cup of a new covenant, shed by my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Now, as we gather at this table, we eat bread and we drink juice, and we remember the one who died to bring us life, and we will keep sharing this. Tonight, you will be receiving communion by intinction. We don't do that often, but I like to do it occasionally because I think there's much meaning in us coming forward and walking to the table or to the elements. But to assure you, if walking is difficult for you, we, as your friends, are glad to bring the bread and the juice to you. Anita and Dorothy will be serving the choir, and then we'll serve those who are unable to walk forward. Just try to gently get their attention. Otherwise, I invite everyone to come forward. There will be two stations on the right and left of me. Take a piece of bread, dip it in the juice, and then you can eat it as you return back to your seat. Each plate has a cupcake liner with gluten-free bread, but if you're gluten-free, I would recommend you come to this table to get gluten-free bread from this green container and to also take a cup that has not had bread dipped in it. I invite those that are serving to come forward. As I give them the elements to serve, I will then invite those of you to come forward to be served. So one of you will take that cup, right? Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this sacred meal, for giving us your presence and your life, and for reminding us of your everlasting grace, which will be celebrated for all eternity. Amen. We continue with our Tenebrae readings.
The Shadow of the Agony of the Spirit, a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 to 44. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing.
The shadow of arrest, a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 47 to 54. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the high priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance.
The Shadow of Desertion, a reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 50 and verses 66 to 72. Then everyone deserted him and fled, while Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus," she said, but he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near Peter said to him, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the rooster crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept.
The shadow of accusation. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 11 to 26. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. And they all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." And then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
The shadow of crucifixion and humiliation. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 27 to 37. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.
The Shadow of Death, a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 45 to 54. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran, got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God.
The Shadow of Burial, A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 38 to 42. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Please stand, if able, as we sing our closing hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Tonight we leave awaiting the blessing we will receive on Easter morning. This Sunday we invite you to join us at 10:30 a.m. For our worship service. Additional activities tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday before worship are listed in tonight's bulletin, and we invite you to participate in those as now. Let us now receive the charge. Do not leave Jesus alone, but pick up your own cross that God's way may be exalted and lifted up. Amen.